Good morning. Currently overcast skies. Temperature stands at 52 degrees in downtown Wausau at our Bow Falls studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. The time is 9:07. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up here in the second hour, we will be joined at 9:20 by the 85th Assembly candidate, Yi Leng Zhang, talk about his campaign, which has not been going on too long, but into the midst of it as he tries to be elected in the 85th this November. That's coming up at 9:20. Also, again, if you missed our interview with Hans Breitenmoser, and if you want to relive any of the hours that we have had here on this program, you can go to bowfallsradio.com, click on shows, find the Chad Holmes Show, listen to that hour and previous hours of the program and all the other Civic Media Radio Network programs as well. And you can also get my show and other shows wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning again to Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning, Chad. Anything on your mind this morning before I start delving into the recesses of my mind?
Well, I know we talked about the Bucks already. I hope that the Brewers are doing better.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about them here in a moment. Thought we'd talk a little sports here in this first segment before he comes in.
Not really too much else on the brain. I mean, for tonight's rehearsal, I mean, we're going through Act 2. Which is just going to be the whole act because it's only five scenes. The first act we had to break apart because it was eight scenes in the first act. So Monday and Tuesday we did the first four and then the second four. And tonight we're doing Act 2, which is a little more, you know, a little more everybody's involved and a lot more dancing and a movement. So tonight's rehearsal might be a little long. That's okay, though. You know, it's all part of, you know, getting that timing down.
Part of the process.
Exactly.
Got to be ready to roll at the end of this month when you open things up. It's at the UWSP at the Wausau Venega Theater again, right?
That's right. It'll be here before I know it.
Yes, it will. So again, we'll keep abreast of what's going on. Anything goes. WCT coming for two big weekends again at the end of May and early June. So.
Hopefully we can get some cast members on the show, too.
Very good. Yep, I'm sure we'll be able to do that. Also wanted to mention, make sure that you're tuned in on Friday because, again, for the month of May, every Friday we will give you an opportunity to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, plus four water park passes, plus a $25 gift certificate for food at one of the restaurants at the Chula Vista. So, again, nice prize package. We are going to do that each and every Friday right through the month of May. So make sure you have our phone number close by because that's how we're doing it. We're going to say call their number, whatever it is. Call their 3, call their 5, call their 10, whatever it may be. And when that caller calls us at 715-382-9297, they will be hooked up with that Chula Vista prize package. We're going to do it twice again on Friday. So two chances to win. Make sure you tune in. And then make sure you call 715-382-9297. And again, have that number because we would love to have your voice be heard, whether it's through a text or a call. Again, that number is for both the text line and for the call line, 715-382-9297. You can also get that number by going to our Facebook page or our X page and bringing up our stream. We have it on a scroll at the bottom of our video stream. So get involved in the show. We'd love to hear your voice. Join us here each and every morning on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. High school sports yesterday. It was a busy Tuesday in high school sports. Took advantage of what was a beautiful afternoon here in central Wisconsin. Yesterday, I was in Wisconsin Rapids as the Newman Catholic High School softball team took on the number 4 ranked team in the state in Division 5, the Assumption Royals. And Assumption used a 5-run second inning to take the lead and ultimately defeat the Cardinals by a score of 9-2. Also in softball yesterday, it was Marathon falling to Auburndale by a score of 4-2. It was D.C. Everest beating Wausau West last night 10-0. That was a great night. After I was done in Wisconsin Rapids, I went over to D.C. Everest and watched the end of that game because it was a benefit for the Humane Society. There were special events going on. There were special uniforms wore by both teams, and money was raised for the Humane Society here in the Wausau area. So a lot going on, and Everest ultimately able to win 10-0. Addison Cluck has been just great in the circle this season for DCE. She tossed a no-hitter in that 5-inning win for the Evergreens. Also, Merrill gave Stevens Point all they could handle yesterday. Stevens Point ranked in the top 5 in Division 1, undefeated in the conference, and they had a nail-biter. Blue Jays, a surprising score, 3-2, Stevens Point over Merrill. Also, it was Athens defeating Shawamigan 17-11. Edgar rolled past Stratford 11-0. Mosinee, the number 1 ranked team in the state in Division 2, defeated Antigo by a score of 14-1. It was Wittenberg-Burnhamwood beating Shiocton 14-8. And Tomahawk fell to Lakeland by a score of 6-0. High school baseball yesterday. It was a long day over at Wausau East, but the Lumberjacks continue their winning ways. Wausau East beat Merrill in 11 innings yesterday by a score of 6-5. So Wausau East, 4-2 in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, still in the battle near the top of the conference standings. Also yesterday, over at Stevens Point, the Wausau West Warriors fell to Spash by a score of 8-4. The return matchup will be this afternoon. Again, a game that's been moved up 24 hours because of the expected rain coming into central Wisconsin tomorrow. But today, Wausau West hosting Stevens Point in high school baseball. We will have that game live for you right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 4:50 and the first pitch at 5 p.m. later today. Also in the Valley in baseball yesterday, it was Wisconsin Rapids defeating Marshfield by a score of 5-3. In the Merrillwood South, Marathon in a big game in that conference. Big battle at the top of the conference. Marathon edged Auburndale by a score of 2-1. Auburndale will come to Marathon for the return matchup tomorrow, weather permitting. And we will have that game. Should it be played, if the rain forecast changes just a little bit, Auburndale at Marathon. Big Merrillwood Conference South Division matchup tomorrow, 4:35 pregame show, 4:45 for the first pitch right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We're also scheduled to have Marathon taking on Abbotsford Colby on Friday. And same time, 4:35 for the pregame, 4:45 for the first pitch right here on Bow Falls Radio. Abbotsford Colby, meantime, they've had a terrific season up to this point, and they swept a pair from Prentice yesterday, winning 13-2 and 10-0. D.C. Everest defeated Rhinelander in a non-conference game by a score of 8-0. It was Stratford getting past Edgar by a score of 3-1. Medford over Antigo 2-0. It was Wittenberg-Burnhamwood shutting down Pacelli by a score of 10-0. Pittsville beat Bonduelle by a score of 5-0. Athens over Shawamigan 10-0. And it was Iola Scandinavia over Menominee Indian 15-1. High school soccer. Always fun when the Warriors and the Lumberjacks get together in any activity. And last night it was girls soccer, and it was all Wausau West as Wausau West defeated Wausau East by a score of 8-0. Also in the Wisconsin Valley Conference in high school girls soccer yesterday, it was Marshfield over D.C. Everest. I should say it was not Marshfield over D.C. Everest. It was a tie. Everest and Marshfield finished in a 1-1 tie. Medford shut down Antigo by a score of 11-0. Brewers snapped their 3-game losing streak last night, defeating Tampa Bay by a score of 8-2. But the big news was, again, another conflict between the Brewers and an umpire. 3 games in a row, there's been some sort of major conflict. And in this case, Freddie Peralta got tossed from the game after pitching a very solid 5 2/3 innings. Real fast. I will thank my friend Kurt Keene for passing some information on to me.
Oh, nice.
And it's bad news for me because the West Smash game has been moved to Stevens Point. So I have a road trip today.
Oh,
doggone it. Kurt, thank you for the information, but thank you for the information, because now I have to drive down to Stevens Point. But we'll still have the game when it rains at Wausau West Baseball Diamond, they have artificial turf in the infield, but they still have natural grass in the outfield, and it does not drain all that well. So they have to play at Buchholz Park today in Stevens Point. So we will have that game for you today at 4:50 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for the first pitch. So I get a trek down to Point.
That's a little bit of a road trip.
Exactly right. So we will still have the game. So, again, I'm glad Kurt was listening to what I have to say, and it allows me to – plan my day a little bit better. But as I was saying, the Brewers defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 8-2. Freddie Peralta went 5 1/3, gave up just 2 runs with 7 Ks and no walks before getting tossed controversially. Willie Adames had a 3-run homer and drove in 4 against his former team. Bryce Terang had 3 RBI, and William Contreras added 1. The Brewers will take on the Rays again this afternoon at just after 12 noon. And, of course, the Bucks were also victorious last night, keeping their season alive, defeating the Indiana Pacers 115-94 last night at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis had huge games. Middleton, 29 points and 12 rebounds. Portis finished with 29 points and 10 rebounds. And also Pat Beverly had 13 points and 12 assists. Malik Beasley added 18 points, and Brooke Lopez had 12. So game 6, 5:30 tomorrow in Indianapolis. So that's a look at sports. So again, Wausau West Baseball in Stevens Point today, but the Warriors will still be the home team. They'll bat second because they're still the home team, even though they're playing on the Panthers' home field. So 4:50 for the pregame right here on Bow Falls Radio. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to a candidate for the 85th Assembly District, Yi Leng Zhang, talk about the issues, talk about why he's thrown his hat into the ring, and more coming up next. The time is 9:18, 52 degrees, overcast skies in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Yes, it is May the 1st of 2024. I mean, it is amazing how fast this year is going on by, but boy, it's going to be an incredibly busy final two-thirds of this year, because so many elections. We talked in the first hour about the map changes. This has led to, a lot of interesting candidates being running for office in the state of Wisconsin. And Yi Leng Zhang is running for the 85th Assembly District, and we're very happy to welcome Yi back to this program. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Thank you for having me here.
I said to you as you walked in, you are a busy guy. And I guess the first question I'm going to ask you is, you decided to throw your hat in the ring here in the 85th. What went into the decision? What made you think, hey, this is a position, a role that fits me well, and a role that I can continue to serve the community like you've done in so many different ways?
Yeah, Chad, well, thank you. First and foremost, thank you to everyone for the opportunity here. But I just want to start off by telling a little bit more about myself and explain how that ended up happening.
Sure.
So, obviously, I was born in Wausau, Wisconsin, raised in Weston, graduated from DC Everest, and then I worked and spent my entire life in the public sector field. You know, when I say public sector here, I'm really talking more about community service. I serve in the, I worked in the grocery store providing services for families in need there as well. Ended up working for a nonprofit providing services for elders and disabilities, individuals with disabilities. Went in and worked in a shelter where it's providing services to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. And then now I'm in a nonprofit executive at a local nonprofit in the local area here. But in addition to that, I've also been elected and also been a voice for those who couldn't speak for themselves. I was a member of the DC Everest School Board. I still am since 2014, so I've been there for 10 years. Surprisingly, how fast 10 years has gone by. I was elected five terms to the Maritime County Board of Supervisors. Still am on there as well too. And then I served as two terms on the Village of Weston Board of Trustees. So with my experience, you know, being involved in the nonprofit sector, being the community service, and also being as local elected official, I know the challenges that our community face, the local community face, you know, from affordable housing to the child care crisis to broadband expansion, infrastructure, to public safety, to the state of health care, to protecting our environment and access to justice. When I see all this, it hurts me. You know, I see my neighbor struggles, because when I see a neighbor struggle, it hurts me as well too. When someone can't afford the medication, it hurts me as well. When I see someone being a victim of domestic violence and sexual assault and not having access to justice, it hurts me as well. So because of that, being a person who has always been committed to serving others, I threw my hat in the ring to try and ensure that I'm doing everything I can here to make sure that the 85th district is a better district to be in.
You know, so often with political candidates, we talk about specific issues, and we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. But one other area I think that sometimes is underappreciated is the ability to get things done. And as you were talking about the different roles, especially within the nonprofits, you have to be able to figure out ways to get things accomplished, to be able to know who to talk to be able to know what levers to pull. And I imagine a lot of those skills would be transferable to serving as a member of the assembly.
That is absolutely correct. You know, as a nonprofit executive in my role and now, and also my roles before, I had to be bipartisan. I have to work with both sides. And that is the intention that I plan on doing. Yesterday I was out walking and talking with members in the community here. And I remember I came up to a neighbor's house, and you know, he was really against the fact that I was a Democrat. But despite the fact that we both agreed on everything, you know, we both had discussions about the issues in the community here, he didn't agree with it. But you know, I think it may be a little early to throw a Star Wars reference out there, right? But you know, I don't deal in absolutes. Only the Sith deals in absolutes.
What was the? I read a statement recently. May have been from former Mayor Rosenberg talking about annoyingly.
Yes.
What was the wording of that? Annoyingly.
Annoyingly moderate.
Moderate. When you say annoyingly moderate, what does that mean for folks? Because obviously, I think that goes along what you were just saying, the ability to talk across the aisle, to talk to folks that may, you know, cringe a little bit when they do see the D, because we live in this era where so often it is whether it's a D or an R, and I think you're trying to break through that. But when you talk about annoyingly moderate, or what does that mean?
Yeah, so for me specifically, I am a Democrat. I'm moderate leaning left, you know. And when Mayor Rosenberg former Mayor Rosenberg described me as annoyingly moderate, it's because I'm always trying to find the best solutions for both sides. I'm always talking with both sides, always trying to come up with a solution, and taking points from the Republicans, taking points from the Democrats. But most importantly, it's because I'm always doing what's right for my constituents, for my community members, and for those that elected me to that position there. So, you know, one of my mentors, John Robinson, who was a former mayor, said to me, and I truly agree with what he said, always remember the next vote. You know, you want to be pragmatic. You want to be the person who comes up with solutions, come up with answers, you know, rather than just attack each other and yell at each other. And I think one thing that's really important is that comes from my nonprofit sector, my nonprofit field as well too, because I'm a results-driven person. I want to make sure that the return of investments is worth it, and that we're doing everything we can here to deliver results.
I can't think of a better person to learn from than John Robinson.
He's phenomenal.
He really is. Whenever he's coming here, he is the most well-prepared person I think I've ever seen. He has said that as well about thinking about that next vote and being able to make sure that you don't burn a bridge. We see so many burn bridges these days, and I imagine that, again, to go into a position, any of the positions you've had, making sure that those roads are always open.
Yes.
And I imagine, again, that's another quality that would be a refreshing change in a lot of ways down in Madison.
Very true. You know, I think it was kind of interesting that I was watching kind of like a documentary on some of the last words that congressmen would tell the new freshmen coming in, some advice, and they would tell stories of where they were not able to spend time with their other colleagues from the other side of the party. But then I'm talking to local elected, local former party leaders, you know, whether they were former Democratic Party chairs or former Marathon County Republican Party chairs, and they were sharing a story that they would basically be eating lunch together, you know, on a weekly basis. Right. Well. And we need to do that. You know, we need to bring that civil discourse, that decorum back, and having those discussions with one another, because the only way we can advance forward is by working together.
I imagine that in terms of all the things that you're doing, that sitting back and not doing something is against every bone in your body. But so often we have seen the state legislature close up shop for many, many, many months. We need a change in that respect as well, where the folks that are on the public payroll and serving the constituents of their districts, they got to get back to work, don't they?
They do. You know, I mean, right now, who's struggling is the constituents, you know, or the residents of the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, as said earlier, you know, and we know this time and time again, we have a child care crisis in this in the area. And, you know, several reports comes out that the only tangible action items that actually came out of it was actions made by executive actions by the governor. The state legislature has not addressed those issues. Same with affordable housing. Same with the state of health, the public health, as well as state of health as well, too. I mean, we saw two hospitals close out west in Chippewa Falls, and now Marshfield Clinic is laying off 3% of their, you know, workforce. That's hundreds of people that are going to be without jobs. We need to address these concerns. We need to address the PFAS issues. You know, we need to look at ways to make sure that in the 85th Assembly here, or either people across the state of Wisconsin here, are living in a healthy, prosperous, and safe place.
We're going to have more with 85th Assembly candidate Yi-Leng Zhang coming up after an information update, news, weather, and sports. And we're going to start delving into more issues. You just touched on, I think, a couple of issues, but we're going to talk about more issues because there are so many important issues that deal with the day-to-day lives of people in Wisconsin. So more with Yi coming up here on Bow Falls Radio. A gentleman that's trying to get people to hear him as he talks to folks all around the 85th Assembly District, Democratic candidate for the 85th, Yi-Leng Zhang, joining us here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about some of the issues. You kind of touched on it, and there are a number of issues that affect the people of North Central Wisconsin. And I'm going to start with an issue that I'm not really sure what the lines are in terms of, you know, ultimately solving the problem, because I think it's something that probably needs to be done at every level of government, which is housing right now, because we hear so often right now, not just here in Central Wisconsin, but throughout the country, the incredible amount of housing shortages that we're seeing, and that leads to higher rent payments, it leads to a homeless issue, because if you don't have the numbers, there's going to be people who are left out. You obviously dealt in nonprofits, and I'm sure had to deal in some ways with this. Where does the state fit in with this? Because I know there's stuff that's being done locally. I think there's stuff that's being done federally. But where does the state fit in when it comes to an incredible housing shortage that we see in Central Wisconsin, Wisconsin, and the country as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a very difficult discussion to have, you know. And the reason why I say that is because we need to bring partners from everywhere, private sector, the public sector, you know, nonprofit sector, the community together to address those issues together here. You know what? And government has to play its role. The state has to play its role. I know local governments are working and do everything they can here to address it, but the state can look into areas where they're potentially providing incentives, you know, looking at ways that to work with areas to redevelop areas so that way there is more attractable to attract developers to develop. We need to continue looking at TIFs as well too. You know, I know that TIFs is more towards the commercial side, but we need to look at areas and develop our community here and provide incentives that would attract people here, because we have to understand here that the housing crisis is a problem that we cannot avoid. We need to address. The Department of Housing, Urban and Development, if I recall correctly. I know it by HUD, you know, as HUD right. said that affordable housing is about 30% of your income here. So we know for sure that right now it's definitely higher than it is. So we need to work together to address these issues together collaboratively. We need to do our part, and we need to work with our private partners and nonprofit sector partners and our local communities to address those issues.
It is squeezing so many people that just the supply and demand aspect. I live in your neck of the woods over in Weston, and I've lived in the same apartment complex for a number of years. And as the years have gone by, the raises every year have just got more and more significant. And it really is something that affects not just one area of our area, of the people of the area. It really does affect almost everybody in one way or the other. And again, as you said, I think it is something that needs to be, you know, looked at on at every level of government. One other area that it seems like you would be, you know, very well positioned to know some of the issues is with education. And we saw the governor get a little pushback because he used his veto pen in a way to get some more money to public schools in the last budget. But at the same time, we are still so far behind. And we're seeing it right here in the Wausau School District. They're starting a discussion because there's some shortfalls there. You obviously see how the numbers all work in your position as a member of the D.C. Everett School Board. As we look at education, as we look at the voucher system, as we look at the public school funding and a lot of different moving parts within it, what jumps out at you? What would you use in terms of your experience in a new position in the assembly to try to make things better in the educational system, especially the public aspect of it?
Yeah, I think one thing we need to look at is the revenue streams. You know, the formula that determines the state aids that comes to our local schools, our public schools, systems as well too. One thing I'm very proud of is that being a D.C. school board member, we were able to lower taxes this year from our share of the of property taxes. But we can only do this for so much if we want to ensure that we have high quality education for our students. We know right now that we don't have enough funding that comes in to help with our students with special needs. We don't have enough for resources to address the individuals who are advanced learners as well too. We are having problems retaining teachers as well. 40% of our teachers within the first 8 years are retiring, but leaving the profession, and we have teachers that are retiring as well too. So we need to look at not only at the revenue formula, but also look at ways to retain teachers. And the state can do this by looking at the benefits, looking at the how we can lessen the workload, addressing the mental health issues. The mental health issues is another problem in our school district as well. And we need to look at ways to ensure that we can increase funding to our school districts, or properly funding it. We haven't had a substantial, substantial increase to our school district until, with Governor Evers' line item veto. So these are issues that needs to be addressed at the state level, because they have the resources that's needed to help provide to help our schools provide good and quality education for our students.
What are your thoughts on the balance between public school funding and the voucher system? There's this discussion that at some point the state's going to have to figure something out, because you can't continue to fund basically two systems of education in this state.
I definitely see that, and I definitely agree with that as well too. It's hard to properly fund two systems. I think it's really important to note that when we're doing things, there's a saying in the nonprofit world that you can either do one thing and be really good at it, or you can do everything and be very bad at it, as well. So we need to focus on supporting what we have in place that works, and we need to invest in it to make it better.
Again, we're talking to 85th Assembly candidate Yilin Zhang, running for election, looking to be elected in November here in 2024 here on Bow Falls Radio. You mentioned when you're talking about maybe a list of some of the other issues in the first segment about broadband. And that, again, is something that is... there's a couple of different issues when I say it's 2024 and we're still trying to get to the level that we should be in this issue. And I think one of those issues is broadband, especially for rural areas. As you look at that issue, what should be done to make it better for a lot of folks in the district?
Yeah, well, right now, I'm talking with the broadband task force, along with the chairman, who is John Robinson.
Yes.
Talking with them, there's 15,000 households potentially in the Maritime County area. That includes a large chunk of the assembly, of the 85th Assembly District that doesn't have access to broadband or being underserved at this moment here. Right now, the state legislator and the state government is focusing on just waiting for those federal funding. And we can't do that, because even if that funding comes in, it's going to be spread throughout the entire state of Wisconsin here, and we may not be able to fully provide or fund those local, these areas that needs it. And once again, 15,000, that's a lot. That's a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about equal access to broadband here, and we need to do what we can here, and the state has the resources to as well. The state doesn't have to wait for the federal government to provide funding. They can also allocate funding as well to address the issue, but it has not done that yet, and it's been waiting, and we can't wait forever.
Isn't that part of the whole mentality right now in Madison? And I could argue as well in Washington as well that, and frankly, and I've talked to this about this with other folks involved in government, that there's kind of a mentality within the United States of America that we kind of wait. We often wait until an issue is almost like you have to deal with it. And again, I just think that it's not just a Wisconsin issue. I think that's an American issue. How can you get things, maybe that mindset changed? And again, as one member of the assembly, one person at a time having these discussions, but do you sense that as well? Do you sense that in some of the work that you've done here in Central Wisconsin, that often that mentality can be such a barrier to getting things done?
I see that as well. I'm a person that likes to, as I said earlier, metrics driven or results driven. And one thing I value and love about our local communities here, local government, is that they try to address issues as quickly as they can, but they're always waiting for resources as well too from the state or the federal government, and those takes forever for things to happen. And one of the things that I've learned from working in local government is that you do everything you can here to address the issue, even when you don't have the resources. And that's what I intend on doing at the state legislature, if elected as well, is really working with my colleagues to address local issues here as well, to address issues across the state here, and not just kicking it down the road here, but being proactive, because we know that it costs us more when the problem hits us. Rather than us actually focusing on addressing the issue beforehand. If we address the issues beforehand, it's a lot lower cost.
You mentioned as well the healthcare issue, and again, that's one of those issues where you say it's 2024, and you got folks that are having to travel such a long distance. You see hospitals closing down in the western part of the state. You see the issues, as you said, with Marshfield Clinic as well around here. What is the role that the state has within the healthcare system in Wisconsin that maybe should be doing something either differently or doing something more?
Yeah, so the healthcare issues, there is so much. It's such a, I guess you use the word from Shrek, onion layers, right? You can talk about the problems that there is workforce shortage in there as well. We can talk about the fact that, the fact that we have expanded Medicaid as well, too, accepting federal funds to expand Medicaid. We are one of 10 states that has not done that yet. And that, to me, is millions of dollars that we could be accepting that can help expand and help fund several of these, and expand Medicaid. What we need to look into supporting supporting efforts or initiatives that address the workforce shortage, such as the Medical College of Wisconsin support providing services for them, or the University of Madison, their public health service programs, or even looking into the psychiatric residency program. So there is so much that we could do providing funding for. We have the largest surplus in history right now in the state of Wisconsin, and we need to look into doing what we can here and reinvesting in our public health and also investing in mental health services for people that need it. Because if we don't, in the future here, people's going to suffer more.
You mentioned the surplus, and I think that comes to priorities again. And I think you've obviously dealt with a lot of budgets in every job that you've dealt with in your career. So up to this point, priorities are set. When you look at that budget surplus, how do you look at it? How would you try to use it in the best way? Because obviously there's that age-old argument between giving it back to the taxpayers and spending it in areas to fill holes in some of these different issues we talked about. How do you look at that issue?
Yeah, I think first what I would say is that when I think about it, it makes me frustrated. And the reason why I say that is because working in local government, from the village board to the county board to the school board, we are all struggling for, to make ends meet at the school districts. We're always trying to ensure that we have the top quality service, but at the lowest price possible. And oftentimes we struggle with this. And, the former county administrator once said that the state of Wisconsin balances its budget on the backs of local government. And I truly believe that. And I believe that because of the fact that they're doing incredible there, but what's happened is they're forcing all of us at the local levels to struggle. And then in the school districts, like the Wausau school districts, has to talk about going to referendum. In a sense, they're taxing their constituents twice or more in those local regions because they want to make sure that education or the quality of service is the best service they can have. But they can't do this all the time. They need to address those issues. So going back to what you were talking about, what that money should be spent for, I think it needs to come back and be reinvested into support and addressing those issues that we mentioned. Broadband, healthcare, public safety, access to justice, access to healthcare, public schools, infrastructure, the workforce shortage, childcare, affordable housing, that surplus or needs to come back and reinvest because, as I said earlier, oftentimes we wait until the issue hits us and then we try to address that issue and it tends to be more expensive than if we're working ahead and trying to address these issues in advance here, it would be a lot more cost effective.
In every aspect of life, if you have that attitude to try to fix the problems instead of waiting, whether it's your car or anything else or a leak in the roof, it's much better. It seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does.
85th Assembly District Democratic candidate Yi Lengzhong, thank you again for joining us. For folks who want to get more information, is there a way for them to do so?
Yes. If anyone wants to learn more about me, you can either follow me on Facebook at Yi Lengzhong for Wisconsin Assembly District 85, or you can go to my website at yiforwe.com, yiforwe.com.
The thing is, follow there, because if they try to follow you in real life, you get really tired really fast. Look forward to having you back very soon.
Thank you, Chad.
We'll come back, have our daily history lesson coming up next. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is May the 1st of 2024. That means it's day number 122 of this year, 244 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1931, the Empire State Building was dedicated in New York City. On this date in 1939, in the May issues of Detective Comics number 27, which appeared on newsstands on this day, a new crime fighter, the Batman, debuted. Happy birthday to Batman.
Happy birthday, Batman.
On this date in 1967, the King Elvis Presley married Priscilla Bullio, daughter of a U.S. Army colonel, at the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas. They divorced in 1973. On this date in 1989, I'm sure this is a place you would either been there or you'd love to be there. Disney MGM Studios opened at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida.
Oh, I still remember that.
Have you gone down there?
Oh, yes. I was there when they originally had the MGM Studios and they changed it to Hollywood Studios.
Yep, that's right.
I still remember that.
On this date in 2003, 21 years ago, hard to believe, 21 years ago, in what became known as the Mission Accomplished speech, U.S. President George W. Bush declared major combat operations in Iraq have ended on board the USS Abraham Lincoln off the coast of California. He added that difficult work remained ahead. On this date in 2011, President Barack Obama announced the death of terrorist Osama bin Laden. And on this date in 2019, New York City named a street Sesame Street at the intersection of West 63rd Street and Broadway in honor of the show's 50th anniversary.
I remember that.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Dan Florek from Law & Order SVU, also the original Law & Order, is 74 years old today. Tim McGraw is 57. Director Wes Anderson turning 55. Actor Jamie Dornan of 50 Shades of Grey fame is 42. Actor Lizzie Green, A Million Little Things, is 21. Social media personality Charlie D'Amelio is 20 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. May is some special events in the month of May.
Oh, yes.
A number of them. It is National Chocolate Custard Month. It is Barbecue Month. It is Clean Air Month. Get Caught Reading Month. Mental Health Month. Hamburger Month. Salsa Month. Bike Month. Motorcycle Awareness Month. It is Women's Healthcare Month, Older Americans Month, that's me. It is National Smile Month, National Egg Month, National Salad Month, and National Strawberry Month.
Very cool.
It is also Couple Appreciation Day, Executive Coaching Day, Frequent Flyer Day, Global Love Day, International Workers Day, May Day, Salad Day, Phone In Sick Day. I'm glad you did not do that. It is Mother Goose Day. It is Chocolate Parfait Day. It is Purebred Dog Day. It is Save the Rhino Day. School Principals Day. And Worthy Wage Day. So all of those involved here on May the 1st.
So you say it was National Salsa Month? Are you talking about the salsa dip? Are you talking about the salsa dip?
That is a good question. I would hope that... for me, it would be the dip.
Oh, for me, it's the dance.
Salsa month. I have to look that
I'm
one
watching
up. Maybe it's both.
Dancing.
Maybe it's both. Yeah. Okay. You know. All right.
All right.
I got two choices for the number of the day.
Ooh. Okay.
I tell you. We're gonna go.
Which
with
one do you think I'm the most likely?
I don't know.
Figure out.
I don't know if either one is really all that different, but we're gonna go with. We're gonna go with this one.
Okay.
The number for the day, and again, for those of you who are just joining us, every day we have the number for the day, and we make it a quiz for Ian. I give him three choices, and as I've said so many times before, it's one out of three. So yes. He should get 33%, but unfortunately, up to this point, he's under 33%. I should go back and see what your total number is, but he's had his moments. Last week, it was a good week. It was 3 out of 5. This week, he's off to an 0-for-2 start. So based on the 1 in 3, you should get this one right.
Okay.
Third day of the week. All right, our number for the day. The number of countries that were involved in World War II. The number of countries involved in World War II.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 37? Is the correct answer 47 is the correct answer, 57. So 37, 47, or 57.
World War II was...
World War II, yep. So a lot of countries were involved in it.
37, 47, or 57. Okay, well, my gut on this one, I'm going to go 57. I'm going to go with C.
All right.
Final answer.
The number of countries that were involved in World War II was 57.
Yes. I didn't history class in high school.
I didn't think you were going to get that one. I thought you were going to go, because yesterday you went with the biggest number and were wrong.
No.
Today, yesterday was the smallest number. Today was the biggest number, and you got it right. So
I still remember that from my history class in high school, talking about the World War II conflict. That number stuck in my head.
So you are 1 for 3 this week. You are exactly where you should be. So now, the next 2 days, if you get one more right, you'll be above what you should be. If you don't get any right, then you'll be below. So there's still some pressure on for the rest of the week.
Yes.
But it's a good way on this hump day Wednesday to get things going, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to our guests today, Hans Breitenmoser and Yi Leng Zhang. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow to start things off. We'll have our big Thursday again, the North Star Nose with North Star Restoration and North Star Built at 8:34 tomorrow. So a big show again tomorrow. Stick around. Coming up, an information update, followed by Matt and Air on Air. And again later today, high school baseball. This location has been changed. It'll be Wausau West at Stevens Point. 4:50 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for the first pitch. Ian, have a great Wednesday. Enjoy the victory.
Yes.
Have a spring in your step, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too, Jed. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day.
That is it. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 o'clock sharp. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.